some, get some.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. When you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever at Omaha, I can promise you that.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for pirates.
All right, welcome in to On Deck here on The Sports Objective. As we're getting you ready, tomorrow night is the start of the FAU series. And with me right now, it's almost been 30 years of friendship as of July the 1st. But who's counting? Alan Vick.
30 wonderful years, Dave. I hope you'll do something very special for our 30-year anniversary.
Well, our friendiversary, am I supposed to take you out to dinner or what?
At least. Okay. At least.
All right. So I promise you I will not do a drive-through and do the dollar menu. I'll actually take you somewhere nicer.
Well, that'll be fine. If we wind up in the dollar menu, that'll be fine. It's just being in your presence that matters. That's what really matters.
It's the thought that counts, Alan.
Yeah, it's the thought that counts.
And our special guest, referee, umpire, he does it all, official Justin Wildfire Butts. He's getting ready to jump in the hot tub and I don't know what he's going to do.
Not on air. I'm not jumping in the hot tub on air. But what's going on, guys? How's everybody?
Everybody. Good Wildfire.
Hey look, this is my favorite time of the year. You know, we're getting ready to go into the conference tournament last weekend of the year. And high school baseball getting ready to go into the third round of the high school state playoffs tomorrow or last night. And get ready for the fourth round on Friday. So life is good this time of the year for those umpires.
Well, it's not good for me. I'm Martin County lost last night 6-4 to
Midway. Okay. Yeah, we still got a few local teams here. Aycock lost out last night. Speaking of Aycock, they got the kid, first baseman, Jameson Steele, that's coming to East Carolina. They lost out last night. But we still got Rosewood High School here. They won last night, or they are going to play, I believe they're going to play Midway on Friday. So that should be a good interesting matchup. And I want to give a shout out to another local official. He's one of the bus drivers for East Carolina, drives Cliff Godwin, some of them boys around sometime. Maurice Knight, he will be working the plate in Angrid and Whiteville on Friday. So that's good. If you want to talk some junk, go out to Aiden Griffin on Friday night and talk junk to the play guy.
Sounds good to me. So we're going to – we got JR. We're trying to help out too, guys. So we're going to help him out and see what we can do to get him on the air, whatever we have to do. It's a team effort.
Hey, I know the struggle there, JR. I really do.
JR, yeah, Johnny Robertson, who is a dear friend of ours, and that's why he's on the show. And I guess
people have no idea how you multitask. Every time we do this, a man of many talents, he's like an octopus, ladies and gentlemen. He's pushing this button and that button and this button and that button.
Send the super chats. Dave needs a raise.
Yeah, super chats is always available. So if you're watching right now, and you want to help, actually, we're working on, Alan and I are working on our retirement fund because he and I are going to, well, I guess Jamie would have something to say that, but when we go to the retirement community, one of those gated communities, you're going to have the really nice condo. I'm going to have the really nice condo. And it's going to be so close, I can pass a Grey Poupon to you.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to having my diaper changed as I get older in one of those facilities. I tell my kids all the time, look, I changed your diaper for all those years. It's going to be your turn before you know it.
There you go. There you go.
And Justin is nowhere near retirement or, diapers with his girls, but not without. By the way, hello, Show Powell from the Queen City. He says, Dave, roll tide. You know, his son Randy decided to go to Alabama.
And we won't hold that against him.
Yeah. Johnny's watching the Braves game. He might be. But Shell, our dear friend, is, going in September, obviously, because his son's going to be down there, Randy. But also, he might be going, guys. I sent you guys the projections. The three cities I'm hearing, there's two T's and an O. We've got Tallahassee, Tuscaloosa, or Oxford are the three that I'm hearing as far as projections.
You got them three projections there. You got Tallahassee, you got the Link Jarrett connection down there. Then you got the Ole Miss connection with Mike Bianco and Cliff. And then you got Tuscaloosa who tried to hire Cliff. So you got three schools there that's, you know, got a little bit of connections there. So I'd be happy with all three.
Absolutely. If they send us to the Mongolian regional at this point, I'd be happy. We need to win some games starting tomorrow night and then take that pressure off, because I don't want to be biting my fingernails Memorial Day Monday. Looking at the screen, sweating bullets to see if the Pirates are going to get in.
Honestly, Alan, I think you're going to be sweating anyways. It ain't going to really matter, but that's just my opinion on it.
Let's see if we can,
if we could, we win the conference tournament and we can take care of all that.
I mean, look, I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, look, the best thing they did to us this year is to change that tournament format.
Oh, yeah. As we bring in, they are. Are you with us?
And honestly, if they changed it a couple of years ago, I think we would have been in better shape to win some of them, too.
Yep. Finishing the top two, you're on your way, possibly.
Look, if we could finish in the top two in the conference with the way our injuries have lined up this year, I'll take that. I'm just telling you.
Absolutely. We bitch, moan, groan, and complain, but considering everything we've been through, I mean, all is not lost. I mean, like, it's not. It's just,
are we going to the Mongolian? So if we go to the Mongolian one, I will not make that one. I tell you who will. Johnny Robertson will be there.
Outer Mongolian regional.
Hey, fellas, I'm not even sure what's going on here. I'm using my phone, and my phone, and you know, in Virginia is terrible where I live. So I don't even know if this is getting across. I can barely hear. I mean, can you hear me?
Johnny, yeah, you're coming. Fine. You're coming in good, brother. You're coming in good.
Loud and clear. Oh, wow, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. Okay.
So, hey, you see what I've been dealing with the last couple of weeks. That's how I usually do mine. So,
yeah.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Justin. What are y'all talking about ECU baseball, I guess?
Yeah, we are discussing the possibility of going to any regional. We'll take any regional and say thank you.
Yes.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Give me a three seed and a map, and I'll be there.
I will be too. Anywhere we go.
Have we talked about Florida Atlantic at all yet?
No, we have not gotten that far. We were waiting for the master to join us.
Well, who's that? Me?
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't know.
J and the last name of R.
You resemble that remark.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, fellas. As far as regionals, though, I think I've stated this before. If we have to travel, I hate turf fields, hate them, but I hope Morgantown gets a regional. I would like to go there. Selfish reasons, it's closer. Plus, it's a great atmosphere, you know, regardless of the field. But that would be my preference. There you go. Yeah,
we were talking about some of the possibilities with Tallahassee. You got the Link Jarrett connection there that was coached with
Billy Guy. Yeah, Tallahassee, right.
And then you got Ole Miss. You got the Bianco connection with Cliff Godwin there. Then you got Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who tried to hire Cliff a couple years ago, and obviously Cliff didn't go there. So you got that connection. And then we open up in Tuscaloosa at football, in September. So, I mean, I think those three great destinations there.
Justin, all three of those could easily happen too.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
I said before, good insight there. JR, that if they sent us to the Outer Mongolian regional, I'd be happy.
I don't care.
No, I really don't. I have no qualms about going anywhere.
Yeah.
We'll take on anybody.
We got to handle some business here starting tomorrow night before we can talk about any of that, though.
Yeah. One game at a time mentality. I mean, that's the way you got to look at it. You got to look at it as the postseason starts tomorrow. Take it one game at a time. I mean, just take it one game at a time. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's the mentality Cliff is taking. Hey, one game at a time, guys. Hey, we're not worried about regionals. We're worried about FAU.
Okay. If we take care of business, our business will be taken care of.
There you go.
This is true, Alan. Okay, now I'm just reporting facts here. I'm not trying to, sway this one way or another. But you know, FAU's been a problem. They swept us in Greenville last year. I mean, they run ruled us at home, 14-1 in seven innings. They had three hitters that really had their way with us. And all three of them are back. But Marshall Lipsy, okay, so here's the deal with Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic has won 9 of their last 12 games, and they've won 5 consecutive American Conference series in a row. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. But here's the funny thing. They're better on the road than they are at home, and they've already been swept at home once by UAB, so – you know, there's good and there's bad with FAU as far as matching up with the Pirates. So, you know, hey, if UAB could sweep them, no reason why we can't do it. That's my feelings. But it is a tough task. So Marshall Lipsy last year, when Ethan Orby started, first pitch of the game, Lipsy hit a home run. And then he hit another home run off of Ethan in the fourth. And he has not played their last two games. He didn't play last night. They beat Florida Gulf Coast last night. And he didn't play when they were going for the sweep against Wichita State in Wichita. He didn't play. So he's usually their leadoff batter. I don't know what's wrong with him. I can't find any information. But if he's not, you know, available, I mean, that, I think that helps us tremendously. So, I mean, I'm not wishing that he's injured, but we'll see. And even if he plays, that's okay. We'll take care of him.
For me, postseason starts tomorrow night. I mean, you got it, like you said a couple of minutes ago, one game at a time. The Pirates are in a reasonably good spot if they go down there and handle business. I feel like if they take 2 out of 3 from Florida Atlantic and then they win a game or two in the tournament, I think we'll be fine. If we lose the FAU series, and then we're going to have to go down to the Clearwater and rock and roll. I think right now we're on the bubble, but on the right side of the bubble. But we need to stay on the right side of the bubble.
And the bubble teams are really weak. I mean, the field is really weak this year. So I think, you know, we go down, take care of business at FAU. You know, like you said, I've always said from the get-go, you win 2 out of 3 every weekend, you're going to be fine.
Yep.
You're not going to sweep. I mean, a sweep is good. But I would like to go back and if we take our record and go back and look, if we take 2 or 3 every weekend, where does that stand in the standard? Where would that put us in the stand? I'm just curious. I was thinking about that the other day, and like I said, I forgot there was a coach a couple of years ago that said just take 2. You ain't gonna win every series, but if you'll just take 2 or 3 every series, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yep. If you can do 660. You know, every week and take that 2 out of 3 because Dave, as we all know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And
that would make a good song, Alan.
It would. I was thinking it would be 666666 ain't bad, but that sounds kind of weird.
You go to the wrong church.
No, a wise man once said, "Never let your meatloaf."
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Man, we're all
seriously, what Wildfire said is correct, and we've had some stumbles, obviously, this year where we didn't take two out of three. This is...
And when you don't take two of three, I mean, then that's where you need to go and get your sweep in there.
Yep, yep.
If you lose all three, then the next week you need to come back and sweep. But if you take two of three, you know, most of the time you are going to be pretty much, especially in our conference, you're going to be okay. I mean, you look at UTSA. I mean, if we took two out of three and don't home it to it, but if we would have took two out of three from everybody, we would have probably be in first place.
Right. Because there's nobody has run away with the regular season. So it's very tight at the top, very tight at the bottom.
That's what I'm saying. It just you take two or three every year, and that's a testament to the league. I mean, this league has gotten really good. I mean, the Paramount at this league, I mean, it's really even, honestly.
It is, and like I've said before on previous shows, Clearwater is going to be wild.
It's going to be wild. I'm looking forward to the conference tournament. That's going to be fun.
Yep. Hey, is my mic working now?
You sound great.
Okay, I muted myself with my ear, I guess, or something. I don't know. Hey, so two out of three, yeah, ain't bad most of the times. I people are getting a false sense of security because we happen to be in the field, and a couple of the five people that have put out projections, you know, I think we're in three of them. We're either the last team in or the next to the last team in. But that was before last night. I mean, that's how close everybody is. Last night, I mean, Troy beat UAB. Kent State beat Michigan. Mercer beat Georgia Tech. Troy moved up three. Mercer moved up four. Kent State moved up one. Pitt beat Penn State. All those teams, I'm telling you, if any of them run the table or sweep the weekend coming up, we're out. I mean, we're in by the skin of our teeth. And like I said, that was before some of these teams that are around us had big wins last night. We did get a couple of losses that helped us. Liberty lost, and Texas State lost. So those two helped us because, I mean, it's going to be like 12, 14 teams trying to get those last two spots. And then let's not hope there's what if there's conference upsets? Say High Points upset. Do they still get in? You know, and then that's one less bid available. What if for some reason Southern Miss and Coastal, neither one of them win their conference tournament. They're both getting into the tournament, so that means a third team, and that tournament's being played in Alabama. So, I mean, that's a good conference. Someone's capable of putting, you know, a good weekend together, and then that's one less team available. So I feel like the two out of three this weekend, if we want to get in as an at-large, I think we need to win them all. That's just my opinion. Or really do well in the conference tournament.
But yeah, I think we're going to have
we're going to have some help.
Two out of three. We're going to have at least two out of three at the very minimum. I'll agree with Johnny. We probably need to win all three, but you can't lose the series to FAU, or you're definitely having to depend on winning the whole tournament. You know,
you're guaranteed four games, right? As of right now, that we know we're going to play four games. We're going to play three against FAU and one in the conference tournament at least. So right now, you know, you got to get that double bye. Yeah, and you got to take two out of three at FAU, and then obviously, it's going to be razor thin, like Johnny said earlier. I don't know if I'm not a drinking man, but I may have to find an adult beverage of choice Memorial Day Monday about noon.
Johnny Walker.
Yeah, I may have to get a beverage, or I may have to bum a Xanax off somebody, because I don't take Xanax, but I may have to do that. It's going to be nervous.
Alan, not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I didn't say there was. Now, if we go down to Clearwater and win it, I will be relaxed and in like Flynn, baby. But if we're sweating, I'm going to have to find some way to, you know, I don't have any fingernails. So I'm going to figure out some way to relax. There's this
drink you might like, Al. It's called Nowadays. It'll take all the stress away, I'm telling you.
Literally. Nowadays.
Nowadays. I ain't gonna say on air what it is, but
now or later. Look it
up. It's turpentine and whipped cream.
Oh my Lord.
It's some good stuff, Al, I'm telling you.
Nowadays.
Bubba says Justin, you need to wear that pirate hat to old games. You start wearing the pirate hat.
Ain't there's some dude that sits up there in the stands. I see him wearing it all the time. Can't think of his name. I know his name in the back of my head, but I see he's got one that's acts like that.
He said, go barefooted like that guy in the mid-90s. I don't remember that.
I ain't going barefooted, that's for sure.
Nope.
You never at ECU, you never know what you're going to get.
That is true.
Hey, Johnny, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Yeah, you're the expert. Let's talk about potential teams that could wind up winning the conference tournament and stealing a bid that may not be on the radar, on everybody's radar. If you a dark horse, who do you think?
You Memphis. Mean like other conferences?
No, I'm just talking. No, I'm talking about the American. Somebody that's really not on the radar, that's had a mediocre regular season, and they're going to Clearwater with no expectations, and they could get hot. I mean, obviously Tulane has done it. You know, a couple of times, but like who do you think's got a shot to maybe shock the world coming up?
I mean, I would think it would be one of the teams that finishes in the top four. We have no idea who that's going to be. Is it going to be Rice? Is it going to be UAB?
I'll tell you one that comes to mind to me is Memphis.
Hello?
Yeah, Memphis.
Memphis. I am scared of Memphis.
Is anybody? Is my mic working again?
Yeah, you're great, bud. Yep.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, it has to be. I feel like a team in the top four. It's going to be very difficult for someone in the 5-8 to win it in this format. So it would have to be someone that could finish in the top four, and that could be anybody right now, with the exclusion of USF and Tulane and. In Charlotte, anybody else could do it. So we'll see.
Just be wary of Memphis, guys. I'm just telling you, that is a didn't
the
they take two or three from UTSA this coming up weekend, this past weekend?
Rice took a beating last night too, by the way.
And let's hope that weather doesn't play a factor.
Yeah.
If weather plays a factor, then opens up a whole nother can of worms.
Did anybody happen to see that fight between Texas State and UTSA last night?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you.
That kind of shocked me because I thought that Pat Hallmark was a little more calmer and sedated than that. But, man. And you know what? The Texas State guys that were I don't know what happened, so I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong. But the Texas State guys, I mean, some of the language they used was like, You're an effing P. And talking to Coach Hallmark, you're an effing P. Come out to the parking lot. Hope we get you in the regional. They had just lost by like 19-4 or something. They had just lost by 15 runs. They didn't have the right to run their mouth, in my opinion. They need to shut up.
Hey, yeah, it's Bush League. And some of these American officials in media, look. Kid bat flips, and we talk about what happened this past weekend. I mean, East Carolina with all that mess. I mean, that to me, that's a little bit more Bush League. I mean, I think they're it's the NCAA has come down hard on officials from that aspect. But I mean, still, I think that was a little bit more Bush League. I mean,
yeah. Here's the thing. I will say to the officials, and Wildfire, for those who don't know, is an official. And when he was commenting, it made me feel better. But for me, he didn't throw the bat. Like, it's not like he threw the bat at an opposing player.
Right. Correct.
He didn't do anything like that. He didn't taunt anybody. I understand there's certain things that I don't, approve of. But when he's all because he put his bat over, like threw it over his shoulder. I mean, come on. And the fact is, baseball has a tendency to be its own worst enemy.
Yep.
We hit a home run, okay? Now, he hit a home run. That is what people are paying to see.
Now, when my thing is when you hit that home run and you stand there for 5-6 seconds or whatever, and then you bat flip. Yeah, I might say, hey, let's go. You know, you hit a home run, but stand there and say something, and then bat flip. I mean, I'm gonna probably say something on that. But I mean,
Justin, what about when the home plate umpire tried to push? Oh my goodness. In 2022.
Yeah, I mean,
no, hold on a minute. Come on, fellas, help me out. From Wilson. Yeah. The center fielder, Bryson Worrell.
Yeah, he
hit that home run, and they tried, the umpire put his hand on Bryson's hip and then actually in the middle of his back and like was trying to push him down the first baseline. I
wouldn't have probably put my hands on his back, but the NCAA.
I think an umpire should be fined, lose money. If you do not.
The thing about that, Dave, is the NCAA put a big bulletin before that regional about that. And so, because it was on TV and all that bull crap, I get it. I mean, but that was the biggest thing with that is the NCAA cracked down on the umpires about that. And so, because
but you don't put your hand on a player, period.
No, not even. Look, even I'll tell you this, even in officiating, they tell us a lot of umpires want to put their hands on the back of the catcher. They tell us don't do that. That's a big no-no. Don't ever put your hand on the back of the catcher. You don't touch a player, period. You know, a lot of times when these guys get down the slots, they like to put their hands up, and all that they're doing there is judging how far back they are. But a lot of times they said don't ever put your hand on the back of the player, the catcher. But like I said, all that with Bryson Worrell is because the NCAA came down hard on that during that regional.
Let's bring in Kyle Barber. What's up, dude?
Well, I was about to leave.
Trying to get you.
Yeah, I forgot about the show tonight. I was watching Cubs Braves. I don't know how long I'm going to be here because I can't watch Cubs Braves on the show at the same time because I'm streaming and air streaming it from my phone by completely legal sources. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So, anyway, 1-1, it was bottom of the fifth when I disconnected. But what's going on, guys? Have we already previewed the Florida Atlantic series?
I guess we did. Yeah, we did a brief preview.
We've done some. Yeah,
I'll come right back, guys. Be right back.
I'm operating from my phone, Kyle. So I'm not up to normal speed here.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I don't. You know, obviously, big series this weekend. We need to sweep it.
Yeah.
A lot made. I don't know if you guys discussed the cancellation of the Campbell game. A lot was made of that by some people. It kills me how many people live in a bubble that only follow East Carolina athletics and don't realize that NC State and UNC had done the same thing the previous week and the amount of other teams that are doing it. And, you know, I had somebody that I respect a lot. I won't say his name because he's a good friend. But he's like, my NC State friend was giving me crap about us playing – cancel the game with Campbell, and I didn't. I couldn't even respond. Didn't even have anything to say. I said you should have responded with they canceled the game with North Carolina A&T last week. I mean, so or Central or whoever the hell it was.
Yep.
So it's It's amazing how much that bothered some people. I get it to a point, but unless we beat them and then swept FAU, us getting in on our regular season merits are probably not going to happen. We probably need to win the tournament, but you know, we're right there still being discussed as the last four in or last four out. So, you know, a sweep this weekend and we play well in the tournament, you know, we, you know, probably have a reason to watch on Monday, Memorial Day Monday, but, it's a big weekend.
Hey, there were 11 games canceled last night, Kyle, 11. And here's the thing, Tennessee, they didn't cancel against Belmont. And they dropped it. They're trying to get, you know, they're trying to lock in a 2 seed, which really it makes no difference, 2 or 3. But they dropped from 32 to 33 in the RPI because they played Belmont and walked them off 11-1 and still dropped. And Western Carolina, who's trying to maybe get at-large consideration. They played Presby. You know how bad Presbyterian is. They beat him 14-3 in seven innings, walked him off, and then they dropped two spots in the RPI. So, you know, teams that don't cancel, I mean, they're getting punished for it. So
yeah, and our cancellation had nothing to do with RPI, at least I don't think. It wouldn't have made any sense to. But a lot of these teams are canceling because of RPI, and a lot of them, you know, like you say, don't. It's hurting them a little bit. We'll see how much the committee holds that against them. They claim they won't. You know, I don't know how you can't. You're going to factor in what their RPI is when all things are said and done. You're not going to look back and go, oh, well, if they hadn't played that game, so, yeah, it's going to count against them.
I think that Mississippi, when they won the national championship, they were one of the last teams in. And they canceled a game late. And if you go back and look at it, they may not even have made the tournament, let alone win it all, if they had played that game. That's how close it was that season. So, I mean, it needs to be remedied. It needs to be, you know, they need to figure something out. I'm not sure what the answer is, though.
I don't know either. You know, I guess you could – I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Because if you say, all right, your last regular season midweek game non-conference doesn't count towards or against your RPI, well, then still, why are you playing it then?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what you do about it. Maybe flex scheduling. Maybe you leave that last week open, and you schedule accordingly based on RPI, non-conference. Maybe I don't know how realistic that would be. I don't know.
I don't know. But there's a few people that are Pirate fans that are upset. I mean, they're using this angle, Kyle. They're saying, "Well, I paid for a season ticket. Now I don't get to go to a game that I paid for."
And, I'll shut the hell up. I'll give you $10.
Yeah, I've heard that from two people.
Tell them I said shut up. Let me know. I'll cash up in $10.
I tried to counter with, "Hey, it's better for us that we don't play." So, would you rather go? Yeah.
And how many people have bought season tickets and then don't use half their damn tickets? So, I don't know. To me, it's much to do about nothing. But I do think it shows the bubble some Pirate fans live in, that they don't pay attention to what's going on with other schools, that this is happening everywhere. You know, and Stevie didn't like it. And he compared it to players sending out bowl games. And, you know, to me, it's not comparable. And I respect Stevie's opinion as much as anybody. But to me, it's not comparable, because when you send out a bowl game as a player, you're abandoning your team and your teammates. This is an entire team not playing a game as a decision together. So to me, it's not comparable.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on that, Kyle. It's selfish for the players many times. Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same.
How does this affect Campbell?
Campbell,
yeah, well, they get to save their pitching. They got to go to UNC Wilmington. They got to play at Wilmington for their last series. Northeastern is within striking distance.
I just lost JR. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear him?
I can hear you.
It's a one bid league, so Campbell has to win that turn.
Yeah, JR, you're experiencing some audio difficulties there with your phone. We can't hear half of what you're saying.
The game against us means nothing, because, like Kyle said, it was not about RPI, because it wouldn't have mattered if they played UCLA. It wouldn't put their RPI at a point where they're in the running for an at-large bid. They're just too far down. So with them, winning a game or losing a game, it's not as important as saving some pitching for UNC Wilmington in the tournament.
Yeah, and I think we felt the same. We felt like we had an outside chance if you beat Campbell, sweep Florida Atlantic, that you're going to get an at-large. But I don't think Cliff liked the odds of that versus saving pitching for Florida Atlantic. So Campbell was in a very similar situation to we are, honestly.
Yeah. They said it was mutually agreed upon, and because it does make sense for both teams.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I tell you what I would like to see It's this Campbell game moved up to earlier in the year. We need to get it in. We always play in Buies Creek. Let's go ahead and get the second game with Campbell played, and maybe in March or April, and so we can get them both in. Let's schedule. I don't know. I don't know who you schedule for this week. Maybe we should schedule NC State or UNC for this week. That way we can either play them because we ain't going to cancel it, but if they cancel on us, then we can raise hell and call them chickens.
Well, we need to play the Campbell and Greenville in game one for the next couple of years, I feel.
Yeah, that'd be good too. But either way, just both games need to be scheduled. That second game, whether it's in Buies Creek or Greenville, needs to be scheduled for earlier than the last week or the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even though we hadn't had a lot of success against them recently, that's become a nice little rivalry.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
And from that aspect, I understand fans being upset. If you, you know, just like we would be, you know, if it was UNC or NC State, all fans would be upset. But, you know, with some fans, they really look at this Campbell series as a rivalry now in baseball. So from that aspect, I get it. But I always look big picture. I always look at how things affect other things. And it's more beneficial for us not to play this game. Gives us a better opportunity to try to sweep Florida Atlantic.
Absolutely. But, yeah, that monkey is going to be on our back for another, 9 months or so. The Campbell monkey I'm talking about. A lot of people were hoping to exercise that, but I'm like you. Would you play Campbell and win and sacrifice just tanking the rest of the season because you're out of sorts with your bullpen and so it's not worth it. So I'll take it, and we'll get them next year. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, I think I've lost some of you guys. I'm not hearing Kyle. I'm gonna come back. I'll jump out and come back in.
JR, I need to tell Alan that when somebody leaves, just to go back and come back in without telling everybody. But anyway, JR, it's down to you and me now. We had some basketball news this week. Our Dave's back. We had some basketball news this week. Getting the Arizona State transfer that was originally from Wilson. Looks like a good get. If you look at his points per game average, it's not impressive, but he played a lot more ball towards the end of the year and played well the second half of the year, particularly against BYU.
Yeah, I think he had 18.
Yeah.
Maybe more, at least 18. I'm excited about that, Kyle. I felt last season, and I've said this before, I felt like I got sold a bill of goods. I wasn't going to get season tickets, and then I listened to Mike Schwartz, and he talked me into it. But this season, he didn't even have to talk me into it. He's done a great job getting players in here. I mean, way better than I thought he was capable. Or I shouldn't say he was capable of. I just didn't think we would get this kind of a team put together. I'm going to buy in again, and I'm looking forward to it.
Let me pause that. We'll go back. Did anybody see the bulletin on from the NCAA about the canceled games and it's going to affect your selection into the tournament? Did anybody see that?
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys what your opinion on that was.
Generic. I mean, it didn't really offer. It's just a threat. So they can say, well, we warned them not to do that.
It's, but, my opinion is, Justin, it's
bullshit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Can you hear me?
I think that's just – I mean, it sucks, but, I mean, there's got to be some type of ramification going forward, I think, canceling games like this.
Then there's going to be a fine line, Justin, because there are some games that legitimately get canceled because of weather, and that's kind of sketchy. When do you draw the line? Well, no, it wasn't cloud. You know, there was the state game in Raleigh. You can ask Bubba. He drove there, and, you know, the weather was playable, but the game was canceled.
What kind of ramifications would you, Justin?
I think it did rain. Can Justin not hear me? I don't think it was enough for it to be canceled.
JR, can you hear me?
Just the outright cancel.
I can hear Kyle loud and clear.
Yeah, I hear you, Kyle.
I can't hear Kyle at all.
Okay, let me leave and come back.
All right.
Just an outright canceled game, you know, a day or two. I mean, I don't know, there's got to be a fine line there.
All right. Well, can you guys, everybody hear me now?
Yes.
I do, yes.
Justin, what kind of ramifications
would you put? Alan Vick now.
Oh, my freaking God.
I would say they would need an arbitrator. Like a third party would have to make the decision whether or not a game is legitimately a candidate to be canceled. Don't let either team make that decision. You could submit, okay, hey, look, this is what the issue is with the weather. I think we should cancel it and let a third party say yes or no.
I mean, you should be able to look on a radar and say, hey, look, yeah, you're legitimate. Or if
but I'm saying, though, but day,
you know,
you can't leave that interpretation up to
it's a gray area, not like everything else with the NCAA, in my opinion.
Well, here's the thing.
It's just a gray area, and they'll find a way to skirt the rules, not like everything else, in my opinion. But
all right,
Kyle, are you there?
Can y'all hear me?
I can, Kyle. Yes. I can hear you. Yeah, I heard Justin talking over you, so I didn't know if Justin could hear you.
No, I can't hear Kyle at all. Let me go back in and go back out.
Yeah, I thought so because he was talking over you, Kyle.
Yeah,
Dave, this is all your fault.
I know.
Take it, Dave.
I will say this. I think, and I don't know if y'all talk about this, I think that the whole RPI situation sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you, Dave.
Right, but what do you do about it? You got to have RPI.
Well, get rid of the current system of RPI and try to find a way that we can make it where teams won't cancel.
But, I mean, what do you do? I mean, because if you say this game isn't going to affect your RPI negatively or positively the last week of the regular season, let's say you take – the last 2 weeks of the regular season, you take midweek games and you say these games won't affect your RPI either way. Well, then why are you playing them?
I totally agree, Kyle. I wanted to say, why are you playing them games?
I mean, so I don't know. Maybe the answer is this. Do away with midweek games the last 2 weeks of the regular season.
That would help you a lot because that way, a lot of those games that you're playing early in the year are kind of like warm-up games. And so if you're playing, what was it, A&T that was like 2-something, guys?
Yeah.
A week or two ago. I mean, why are you playing them that late in the season is my question.
I would rather swap. You know, we're playing ODU and all the guys in the bin week. If you're going to play Campbell, play like an ODU and then maybe a Campbell, or take ODU out and play Campbell. I'd rather play Campbell than ODU.
Probably this, what might be the answer, would be don't have non-conference midweek games the last 2 weeks of the regular season, but allow flex scheduling if teams want to schedule games the last 2 weeks of the regular season. Like all of a sudden you got East Carolina and NC State, you know, well, we played each other. So let's say, I'm just going to throw out teams. Let's say East Carolina and Georgia Southern are both bubble teams. They're both RPIs around 38 to 40. And they could benefit from playing a midweek game. And they want to play each other. Maybe don't have game scheduled last 2 weeks of the regular season and then allow teams to schedule if they want to for the last 2 weeks of the regular season within, say, a month from those. You see what I'm saying? That may be the answer. Leave those last 2 weeks open, but allow teams to schedule those last 2 weeks during the season if they want to, you know.
Yeah, well, 1 week of that is last week was exams, so you can't play a game and do exams anyway. So it would come down.
If that was the case, why did they take play basketball during exams? Because obviously they play basketball during exams.
Because they
I think it's Cliff's decision that they don't play during exams. Yeah. But I do think that would be the answer. Like I say, don't schedule non-conference games. Anybody. Last 2 weeks of the regular season, midweek, and then you can schedule them if you want to for those last 2 weeks once the season starts. So you can schedule games that would be beneficial for you to play.
So there, you know, there are other metrics that are being used by the selection committee. It's not just RPI. They use KPI too, which that's strictly like a results based metric. They pretty much reward quality wins and they penalize bad losses. But if you were to win a game against a bad team, I don't think it affects your KPI one way or the other. And then they have wins above bubble. And that's a kind of a newer metric where you're compared to like what the average bubble team would do with your schedule, how an average team would have done compared to what you did, which I don't have any idea how they figure that out. But so maybe they should just phase out RPI. It is fun. It is fun following it, though. I will tell you that it's fun to, you know, see who's moving up, who's moving down. So that's something that I think is very interactive with the fans.
I'm glad you like it. It stresses the hell out of me. I don't like it.
Well, you know what? I could be following KPI. That might be. But I don't think the movement is not going to be as volatile as it is with RPI. And that might be a good thing.
Yeah, like Josh said, we lost the RPI spot and didn't even play last night.
Yeah. That's because the teams that were below us had nice wins.
Did anybody consider WKRP?
WKRP, that's an interesting theory there, Kyle.
I mean, I think
what metric would they use to determine a team's worth?
How many turkeys break one?
I wonder, do you ever think of me?
Sometimes.
I'm living on the air in Greenville. Greenville, WNCT.
Alan, congratulations. I'm
you're
getting
welcome.
That in. That
was you're welcome. Thank you.
Sister. Hey, so the Alabama kickoff time was announced 12 o'clock on ABC. So you guys that are going, it'll be 11 a.m. Central time.
I'm not going.
Huh?
I'm not going now.
Because of
I'm not even kidding. I'm not going.
Because of the early kickoff.
Yeah, and it's not just a noon kickoff. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff local time, and it's just no time to have a proper tailgate, and that's half the fun of going, not to get plastered or anything, but just the socializing and, you know, just having a good time, and I'm just not going to do it. It's too far to go and have no tailgate, so I won't be going. I'm not going. It's great for, I think, maybe national eyes on it.
Yeah. Well, one good thing.
And that's important.
I'll be there regardless of the time.
Well, one thing I will say is positive about an 11 a.m. kickoff in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is that the hottest part of the day, the game will be over. So.
Yeah.
Well, another good thing about, you know, with that kickoff, you know, look, you're going to be first game of the year. You know, all eyes are going to be on College Game Day. College Game Day is going to roll right into that game, and so everybody's going to be watching that game. I mean, so from a East Carolina aspect, I think, I mean, you couldn't get any better. I mean, at least the game's not on Peacock or anything. I mean, it's on ABC, and then after our game,
ABC's good. I mean, obviously that's good. Besides that, you guys know how I feel about the game. I'm not a fan of it. I do like that it's on ABC. That's the one thing I will say is, you know, anytime you get to play on ABC, unless you just get embarrassed, it's good exposure. I mean, everybody gets ABC.
Yep, and that's. I think it's great. I really think it's great. I think Johnny, afterwards we can tailgate and have a good time. So
it's not the same, but no. It is. I do think it is great, Dave, for exposure. It's awesome.
Look, with the 12 o'clock kickoff, with what you know, Tuscaloosa is only a couple of hours from Atlanta. So for any Pirate fans that want to go, I mean, look, game gets over 3:30, 4 o'clock. You can roll back into Atlanta or go right out of Birmingham, catch a flight right back home. So I mean, you can make a day of it. I mean, save some money on hotel rooms and all that good stuff. So, I mean, if you really want to fly out Friday afternoon to Atlanta, you know, go down for the game, then After the game, get right back to Atlanta, get right back home. You'll be home Saturday night. So, I mean, it's not a bad deal.
I've got bacon and eggs at the tailgate. Not a bad thing.
I could be swayed. I could be swayed, but maybe it's just an emotional instant reaction. Maybe I'll regain sense later. But as it is right now, I'm
Breeze. I'm rethinking. Raleigh Durham for $54 round trip.
Well, I've already got my tickets on. Johnny and I are going on Spirit, so Spirit Airlines. So.
You have a private jet, a private experience on Spirit.
Yeah, I've got a lot of Spirit for Spirit.
You're gonna have to hire your own pilot, your own stewardesses. You know, somebody's got to push it down the runway to get it off the ground.
The propellers.
But no, if any Pirate fans want to go to a game, look, take a look at Breeze Airways. They go to, I think, about every place we play at for a low cost. I mean, it's not a bad deal. I mean, you can get a first-class ticket on Breeze Airways, which you can in economy on Delta.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm not laughing, but the sad thing is a lot of these airlines like that are really struggling right now because of gas prices. So
The fuel prices are really a killer.
Yeah. But Johnny, we're gonna I promise you, man, we're gonna have a great time. And Alan, Vic prices are in Tuscaloosa. I'm definitely not staying in Tuscaloosa. The Vicks of the world that have all the money, they can pay the $600 a night. I'm not doing it.
Well, yeah, I think the team's gonna be staying in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Birmingham is only an hour, guys. 1 hour from Tuscaloosa.
I'll be staying at the Chateau.
If I want to put money on it, they're going to be staying at a Hyatt or Marriott in Birmingham.
Look, I'll be staying at the Chateau Motel 6.
Well, I can tell you something else. The same distance, maybe even a little closer to Tuscaloosa than Birmingham, if you head northwest, is Jasper, Alabama. And they're more reasonably priced because it's Jasper, Alabama. It's not Birmingham. And you got some good barbecue out there, too.
Dreamland Barbecue, if you want to go get some good barbecue.
Hey,
Dreamland Barbecue.
I'm surprised, and maybe Kyle can do it, but I'm surprised we don't have a charter bus or two going from Greenville to...
I am, too.
Maybe I can.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they're going to do that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, Barber.
Stay tuned.
Charter buses or barber tours. There you go. Barber tours.
What are you talking about?
Can you imagine being on a chartered bus
with Kyle?
To anywhere with Kyle? Now that would be fun.
That would be fun. Kyle is your tour guide.
But Dave, stay tuned to that. There's some stuff probably going to come out in the next couple of days about that.
All right. There you go, Kyle.
I
have no interest in going. I've made this very clear.
If you could make money off it, you wouldn't do it?
I'm going to do a charter bus? You mean me run it?
Yeah.
Like,
you'd be the celebrity. You'd be the celebrity.
Why would I? I don't understand. I'm so confused of why I would be doing this. I'm going to charter buses for the Alabama. Absolutely.
I know people that would pay money to ride a bus with you. Yeah. That would ride a bus with Kyle.
Who are they?
Some are currently incarcerated, but they're due to get out sometime in early July. So.
Well,
yeah. stay tuned.
Was that the ladies' penitentiary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a fun trip. Now I'm just telling you that'd be a fun trip.
Kyle bailed all of us out so we would be able to go to the game.
Hey, Kyle was my pen pal for years. I want to meet him in person. Tell him how much I love him.
I didn't go that direction. I was just talking about fans that actually are big Pirate fans of the show. And then Alan had to take it off the tracks.
Well, I mean, hey. Those that choose to go, it's gonna be a fun time. And ABC, there's ABC. Noon, that's going to be good for ECU athletics. There's not a downside to it.
And talking about the exposure, I mean, obviously College Game Day is going to be talking about it as well. So, I mean, look, we'll be on College Game Day on that that Saturday morning, first kickoff of the year. So,
yeah, they'll be at LSU, right? Is the Clemson LSU at
LSU Clemson? Yeah, so they'll be at LSU. So, I mean, obviously, they're going to be talking about it. I mean, so as long as they don't put the Queen Anne again on College Game Day, I'll be good.
I was watching.
You remember that? They look.
Yeah, I did.
So yeah, they put the Twitter post. I posted it up, and I always wanted to be on College Game Day, but not for that reason. I promise you that.
What?
And then Pat McAfee or something had something to say about it and all that good stuff. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys think it'll take to get College Game Day in Greenville? I mean, I've always wanted that. You think about all the games, the big games over the years we've had, and ESPN has broadcasted many times, but damn it, College Game Day. Where would you put it? Would you put it near the Pirate statue? Like the set and everything?
You would have to put it on campus somewhere, I would think. You know,
that'd be a great spot, Dave.
That's my dream spot for it. I don't know. What do you think,
Kyle? Man, how cool would that be?
On the hill, maybe?
That would be... Man, that would be just an incredible accomplishment.
The reason I'm thinking about it is the atmosphere with Doughty behind you, and you got that pirate statue, and then you have all that. Maybe I've thought way too much about it, but I've been wanting College Game Day. And I always thought when Alan and I were first working together, that we'd have College Game Day at some point because we had those big wins. But we still, even with big wins, they'll go to Appalachian State or different places, but they won't come to Greenville.
Yeah, you don't know what it'll take? Okay, I'll tell you what it'll take. I don't know what the week two schedule is like, but upset Alabama week one. I mean, that's not going to happen. But it would take a major upset followed. It would take a major upset, and then there be a weak slate of games that following week. Or we're in contention down the stretch, like, you know, well, us in South Florida are on a Friday night, but just using that as an example, if it was on a Saturday, let's say that game had playoff implications. It's going to take something like that for it to happen.
I agree, Kyle. It has to be later in the season. There's no way, the first few weeks they're going to Greenville. It would definitely have to be later in the season.
Like one of those weeks where the SEC is playing sisters of the poor, they're FCS.
Yeah, they're playing all the FCS teams.
JMU, sort of like what they did at JMU a couple years ago and all that good stuff.
Well, we've had some big wins, but our timing just hasn't been right for College Game Day to come to Greenville. Our timing has been off a little bit.
By the way, Kyle, did you hear about the championship game is going to be on Saturday night for the American? We're going to be hosting it. Oh. Hot take, clip that. We're going to be hosting it, and you never know. We might have 9 or 10 wins by that point. 11.
I don't know. We'll see. I think there's the potential for us to be in the championship game. Still too many unknowns, but I didn't see that. I didn't see the championship game have moved Saturday. That's good.
On ABC.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we'll start the season on ABC and end the season at least I guess that's not regular season, but prior to bowl games, et cetera, ended on ABC. That'd be nice. But that's good for the American, no matter who's in it. Saturday night on ABC, no matter who's in the championship game.
Better than Friday night, right? It was Friday night. They moved it to Saturday.
Yeah, but, we weren't – several games.
Well, Saturday's usually prime time for ABC anyways. I mean, that's a good spot.
Yeah, I'm tickled to death about that. I think that's going to be great. And this is the best – I don't know about you guys, but football-wise, this is the best I felt about our program in a long, long time.
I felt that way for basketball last year, but just see how that ended.
I used to go to the football games just to hang out with Alan Vick and get free food, but now I have a reason to get.
It's the first year, I think, in several years that we've come into a season where at least we have some stability.
Bingo.
Well, no, we had plenty of stability last year. We had more stability last year than we did this year.
Yeah, because we're going to have two new coordinators, which
– I mean, exactly. I'm talking
– you're breaking in the quarterback, too, going into Alabama. Yeah,
towards the top, the leadership is what I'm saying.
I'll still say last year we had more stability overall. But I do think that, what I do like is our schedule this year a lot. And – Outside of the Alabama game, I like our schedule. I think it's favorable in conference. I think we're going to have a really good defense, and I think we have the potential to have a good offense. It's just going to have to come together. But our defense should be good out of the gate. And as far as having a new DC goes, that doesn't really bother me. At the end of the day, it's Blake Harrell's defense. And this cat's coming over from Memphis. He's been a DC a long time. I'm not really worried about that. Now, the offense, he had the title of OC at North Texas, but he didn't call the plays. Their head coach did. He called the plays in the bowl game.
He sure did
a good job of it. But
yes, he did.
But this isn't the first time, Lincoln Riley, same thing. John David Baker, same thing. So what Blake did really is what's worked here in the past. Young, hot OCs who coached under really good offensive minds that had the OC title but didn't call plays. It's worked twice before. Hopefully it works a third time.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. I think that with we're finally at a point where with our defense is very good, our offense is going to be very good, and having Blake, he really gets these players. And when we had Mike Houston, he was a very good coach, but I think he was coaching like us, coaching the guys from a previous generation. And these new guys, man, they do not put up with it between transferring and all that with the transfer portal. And another thing too, guys, I want to make sure that everybody gets their season tickets. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Get your tickets. You can go to ecupirates.com anytime. Order your tickets. It's going to be, man. And Kyle, September 12th is going to be a rocking atmosphere at Dowdy. I'm not going to go on a limb, but I'll say we'll have about 43,000. I don't think it'll be a sellout, but it's going to be a great day.
It'll be a great crowd.
And they bring people too. They definitely bring a lot of people.
Exactly. It'll be a great crowd for up. Yeah. It'll be north of, I think we'll be north of 45,000. And I mean,
yeah.
And that's a must win game. I mean, you can't lose four in a row to those guys.
No.
No, I never thought we would be at this point. But it again, you never know how your team is going to be. I think Blake is learning how to have the luxury of having high school recruits and do the balance of high school and transfer portal. And I tell you what, guys, putting out a shameless plug, but all the folks that listen right now, Jordan Matheson is a great athlete for Martin County High School. I'm praying that we can get him. He is a great linebacker. I know it's high school, but he's like a man among boys when we're calling the games. And he's got a senior season coming up, but he's got offers from a lot of ACC schools. I don't know. He was in South Carolina, by the way, guys, in Columbia last week. I don't know if they've offered him anything, but he's getting even SEC looks. So we'll see. But I would love if you guys get a chance. I haven't texted Igo about him, but would love to have Matheson in the purple and gold.
Yep. Guys, I'm gonna cut out. I know I came in late, and I'm gonna cut out early.
This game's getting interesting, Kyle. Very interesting.
How are you watching it, JR?
MLB Game Day. I'm not watching it actually. I'm following it. I got Money Mike's on first base, nobody out, bottom of the eighth.
If you want, I can send you a link where you can watch it. Just let me know. But I'm gonna get off of here so I can stream this from my phone back to my TV and watch the end of Braves Cubs. It's 1-1. And we'll see if hopefully the Cubbies can come away with the win despite what JR wants.
Go all Braves.
Right. Go Cubs.
Good night, Kyle.
I don't know. Every time somebody leaves, I lose some audio.
I know. You get a little bit shaky knees there.
Yeah. I don't know.
With good reason.
I can hear you. I hear JR, but I don't know about Dave or Wildfire.
I don't hear either one of them.
I don't either.
Dave. Justin. Okay, what's you and I? It's our show, Alan.
Okay, well, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Superstar time. That's what we are.
But I'll hear
this
Alan.
This is the Johnny Robertson Show. I'm Alan Vick, his co-host.
It would never be in that order because you are truly you're the broadcast professional. We all know that. I take notes from you every show, so.
had to use the restroom and you're like, Dave.
Well, you should think about these things. Alan, we can't hear you, Alan. Take care of business before you go on. That way you don't have to worry about
anybody hear Alan.
Or have a bucket down there beside you or something.
Yeah. We can hear Alan. Can you hear me, right. Wildfire?
I hear you.
I can hear you, but I can't hear Alan. I hear Johnny and you.
I don't hear Wildfire. Hear Alan.
I don't either.
I don't hear Wildfire. I hear Wildfire. I hear everybody.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't hear Wildfire.
All right.
May have to go out and back out and come back.
All right. Wildfire, what, y'all are going out?
No.
Yeah, I can hear Dave and Johnny, but I can't hear Alan.
Justin.
What's up?
Okay, well, I guess what else do we want to cover?
Well, we've been talking about all the, obviously, with the implications of this weekend and Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday games, and then we will be traveling from Boca. We'll be doing Boca to Clearwater. Not us, but the team. So we'll see.
Right. Hey, I just looked at my notes here. I wanted to bring this up. It may be overly optimistic. I don't know, but you know, the football team had a great season last year. But am I crazy to think that next season we could have more wins in all three sports? I mean, I think baseball and basketball will definitely be better. But I mean, football, I look at the schedule and I can make a case where we can win a bunch of games without knowing a lot of details yet. Yeah. But that would be crazy if we improved in wins in all three sports. And I know I'm not bringing the ladies into this, but I'm just talking about the men's sports, but because I don't know enough about the other. I don't know what Kim's got coming back. I don't know what she's losing. But we're lucky to have her. We're lucky to have Shane Winkler. But next season could be special in Greenville across the board, all the sports.
I agree. I'm a full Mike Schwartz believer, as you know. I think he's done, you know, yeoman's work in the off season. Obviously, this baseball injuries have caused what we're going through now. For the most part, I think, and obviously football is on the upswing. So I would not be shocked at all for 2027 to be, you know, one of those years we'll look back on in history and say, wow.
I hope so. We'll have a new addition to Clark LeClaire Stadium on the third baseline there.
Yep. And September, we're going to have the Johnny Robertson indoor practice facility. So,
yeah, that's true. We will. Hey, you know what? I want to say something about that too.
Okay.
After the after this weekend, I went back up there before the Sunday game started. I was just walking my dog over to see Josh Thomas, and I walked right by the indoor practice facility. And when it was just like an iron skeleton, not real impressive. I mean, I'm not saying it looked cheap or anything. It was hard to gauge what we were getting with just, you know, the structural skeleton. But now that it's starting to take a little bit of shape, man, I'm liking what I'm seeing. It looks really nice, in my opinion.
It really does. And you know what? I don't care what people think. I'm glad we don't have a picnic shelter. Wildfire, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm so happy we don't have a picnic shelter. I'm glad that we have the real deal. And I'll tell you one thing. I told Matt Maloney guys down at Coastal last year that if I ever get married again, I'm going to get married there at the indoor practice facility. And Alan Vick can do the wedding. It'll
be fine. I just want to be invited because I know there'll be good food.
Yeah, Aramark is going to do it. And I'm going to say, you see that guy right over there? He's only here for the food. Make sure that he doesn't get a whole bunch of food tonight.
Well, you need a good DJ too. So, I mean, that
there you go.
I could DJ the wedding for you.
My next wedding, I'm hiring Alan Vick to do the DJing.
Hey, I'm available for wedding, bar mitzvahs, get out of jail parties, whatever you need.
we'll be in contact, Alan.
sounds good. I'll give you the friends, family, and Sports Objective discount.
There you go. Appreciate that.
That's going to add up.
Hey, Braves just took a lead, by the way.
Mm-hmm. They did.
You know why? Because Kyle cut out on us. You don't do that to friends.
Hey, we see where his priorities lie. So there you go, Kyle.
Hey, let me tell you something. If Kyle can get back into Major League Baseball, then Alabama can lose to East Carolina, okay?
That's right.
Next thing you know, Kyle's going to be watching the NFL.
Let me tell you something. If ECU beats Alabama, I will get back into British midget cricket, if that's what it takes.
I didn't know there was such.
Now you do.
That's all in a flow.
That's a late night sport. It comes on right after pillow fighting.
There you go. Tape delay, right, Alan? Back in the day when we were growing up, tape delay.
Yeah, that was great. You know the cool story about tape delay when NC State made the NCAA tournament and played Pepperdine, that was on tape delay. So yeah. The guys went back to the hotel and watched the game after, the announcers were saying when Pepperdine was up 7 or 8, that Sidney Lowe's career was over, blah, 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 blah. But that was actually on tape delay. I remember that very well.
I had forgotten that. I do remember that.
Yep. Braves are up 4-1 now, by the way.
Uh-huh. I watched it. And they got thrown out at the plate earlier, or it would be 5-1.
Yeah. What happened?
Take that, Kyle.
Everybody else watching the show with us, we're watching. And even Josh Thomas, one of the biggest Braves fans you'll ever meet, is with us. And he
can shocker. He said, hey, Dave, Josh texted me and said, why are you doing a show when the Braves are playing? I said, Josh, the Braves play like 6 nights a week. What are we supposed to do?
They play 162 games, Josh. We don't have much choice. But, hey, you talk about a guy that can do it all and do it all well and is a great Pirate, Josh Thomas.
I tell you
what. Sir. Yes, sir.
I think I can't hear Josh, you again. Okay.
Josh, we need to get together about the tailgate. Let's do a big post tailgate in there in Tuscaloosa. I think that would be fun.
I mean,
or do it in, and do it.
We can remember work. In Birmingham at the Birmingham Bowl, you did a remote show.
Yeah,
I mean, can we do that in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah,
if
we
can. Are you going, Alan, or are you not going?
Me?
Yeah, Alan.
Oh, he's back with us now.
Is Alan going to Tuscaloosa? Is my question.
If I go, no, I can't go. I've got some work.
Okay. See, that was going to be a game changer. If you were going, then I was going to be teetering again and towards going.
Yeah,
but.
I would love to. I really would. I've got some racetrack and work commitments that day, and I'm just learning to spell Tuscaloosa. So
wait a minute. You could pronounce it. That's better than the announcers. Even we had an Eastern Carolina again on the softball championship on ABC. I mean ESPN2. But other than that,
if I hear one more Eastern Carolina, I swear.
Take your paycheck. That's how strong I feel about it.
They need to dock those guys like $20 every time they say Eastern Carolina.
That's right, Alex. Alex's future school and McKenzie's future school as well as East Carolina, not Eastern Carolina. They're not going to Eastern Carolina. I will not pay for them to go to Eastern Carolina, but I will pay for them to go to East Carolina.
Correct.
There needs to be a study done into, there's got to be an underlying issue with,
I don't think
to me, it just doesn't make sense why it's so prevalent.
No, there's no rhyme, no reason. It's very simple.
And they're professionals. These are professionals that are supposed to. I don't know about you, Alan, but I'm pretty sure that you and Dave and myself and Kyle and Justin, we know the name of every Division I school and pretty much all the sports, and we know what their proper names are. How can you be a professional you know, you get paid to cover college sports, but you don't understand the name of a university. And it's, and East Carolina is not like they're more to the top than the bottom when you consider how many schools there are. So I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Connecticut, you know, instead of Connecticut.
No, or whatever. That wouldn't even be as egregious, though, to be honest with you.
Even if there's a guy that may have a problem if he's broadcasting, put it in front of you. Write it down. East Carolina. How hard is that?
You know, yeah. Have you ever heard anybody refer? I know Western Carolina doesn't get mentioned much on you know, national media, but I've never heard it be, you know, referred to as West Carolina. Ever.
No,
but somehow
that's no. why they're messed up with directional schools is because they it's Eastern and because you have Western, but that's not.
That's why you need guys like Patrick that are familiar with the school to do the broadcast. I mean, I think it makes a huge difference if you have someone that's got connections and ties to a particular school doing the broadcast. I think it helps a lot.
Yeah, but people should realize there's three Carolina schools: North Carolina, South Carolina, East Carolina.
There's only.
I mean, it's that simple. Well, I know, but I'm just saying three Carolina directional schools, and then Western. But I don't get it. I won't belabor my confusion on this issue, but
every time somebody says Eastern Carolina, somebody should walk up behind them on camera and just hit them right in the back of the head. Just pop them right in the back of the head.
That actually would make better ratings, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great television.
They notch her headset right off because she said,
"That's right,
Eastern Carolina's softball."
That's like when Ric Flair knocked Roddy Piper's headset off in 1991 or two or whatever it was.
Maybe instead of that, they should, instead of like, you know, a pie to the face, they get a Beeves barbecue platter to the face or something, you know, just to remind them.
Maybe they could have Steve the Pirate come up and just waylay them.
Wait a minute. When you said Beeves barbecue, that is barbecue abuse, because that barbecue is so good. Why would you waste it?
Yeah, that's true. And it's hard to get, too. You're right. That's a precious commodity. You wouldn't want to use it in that respect. You're right.
Alan, when I was there with you first, and that's when I first had it. It was right after college and working in radio and going to Beeves Barbecue. They didn't have a phone. Do they have a phone now or not?
They have a phone. And the cool part is, if you remember, my first station over in Farmville was right next to a barbecue joint. The studios of WGHB and WRQR are right next door. You could have 5 minutes of news, call your order ahead, run over there, get your barbecue, and be back with like 35 seconds to spare.
Wow.
No, yeah,
great barbecue next door. Contentnia Creek Barbecue. It still exists.
Well, you know
that. Is that down near Snow Hill?
No, it's in Farmville, like you're going into Farmville.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess Contentnia. Yeah, it does run up that way. It does run up. Yeah, I think of that as like Farmville area. But, I mean, it does go down there. Hey, I'm going to send you all a picture in the group chat. So when I left Greenville on Sunday, I'm not on Sunday. When I left Greenville on Monday, my dog Boone, he's a hound dog, and he smells everything. So I put him in the back seat. He's got like a little harness, a hammock back there, and I put the window just down a little bit. And every time we go to when we pass, because I go by Beeves Barbecue on my way home, when I hit that stop sign, and he's got to sit in front of Beeves Barbecue, he starts howling. And I got it. I took a little video of it. I'll send it to you.
Wow, that's cool, man. Yeah,
he wants me to let him out. He wants to get some Beeves Barbecue. But mostly, you know, you got to get there early, as you well know, because a lot of times if I leave later,
it's sold out.
It's already done. They're already done.
Yeah, you got to get there at 0:30 and stand in line that goes across the road sometimes.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And it is it ain't nothing but barbecue and barbecue chicken. If you're looking for green beans or you know, Brunswick stew,
cornbread,
nada, Nada.
They do one thing and they do it extremely well.
That's exactly right. Now, I got to tell you, as far as fried chicken goes, my favorite is Parker's. As far as fried chicken, I think Parker's has great fried chicken. That's my
well,
fried
if Justin
chicken.
Was on here, he would tell you, you have to go down to Memphis to Gus's. That's what he would tell you.
Nobody made better fried chicken than my grandmother and my mother, and I don't know how they did it to this day, but good fried chicken is an art form.
That is correct, because there's some things they say you can screw up, but you definitely can screw up fried chicken.
I don't know what the generation previous to me did, but they made the best fried chicken ever. I've never had fried chicken like that anywhere else.
That is great. So we're talking East Carolina stuff, and obviously anything you want to talk sports wise. Me personally, grateful. The Braves win.
Yeah, 4-1.
And you know why they won, Josh Thomas? Because Kyle from LaGrange Barber bailed out on us. I'm gonna watch the game. All right, go ahead. He doesn't sound like that.
Kyle.
I kind of respect his because I'm staying on and I'm a Braves fan, but I'm staying on. But I respect his commitment to his new love, because this is like a new thing for Kyle. I never thought he'd be a Major League Baseball fan.
He is rekindled. It's rekindled, and I'm happy for him because I don't have anything to talk about, and Johnny is going to not even pull for my team when. In August, Alex and McKenzie. Alex is excited because we're going to be able to see our Nationals play the Cubs, right, Alex? In August, he's right behind me. He's excited about it. We've been driven by there like 3 or 4 times, and Alex is like, "Oh, that's where the Nationals play," and he's like, he wants to stop. But
I'll tell you what, though, Dave, game day experiences. It's one of the worst in Major League Baseball. That is without a – I'm not even exaggerating. It sucks. This would be the first time I'll ever go to a Nats game where the Braves aren't playing, just because, I want to enjoy it with y'all, with the Cubs. But their prices for concessions are ridiculous, and the food is tiny portions. Parking's expensive, and the neighborhood is not really safe. It's just not. It used to be safer. Here's what it was. It was a bad neighborhood that they decided they were going to revitalize. And initially, they did that. They put in some apartments and some local businesses. But as the years have gone on, it's reverting back to a no-go zone for me. It's like... I'm like, you're not going to get mugged or anything going to a Nats game, but you don't want to like walk the streets or anything. Right. So it's just not a great experience in my opinion, as far as for the prices, because I think they charge more than anybody for concessions and parking and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we may have to do the Metro, right?
Well, I mean, you could do that. Yeah, you could do that. How many people, Dave, is it just you and him?
It's the kids and I, and then you and Jessica and Kyle, I think.
I know, but now you're putting me in a funny situation because I only have 4 tickets.
Oh.
Yeah, I can only.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news.
All right, well.
But you can get, hey, look, they stink. The Nats stink. You could get a ticket easily for any game. That's a midweek game, so it's not going to – there'll be so many tickets available. But I do have a parking pass, so maybe we can just all ride together or something. That would be 6 people, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure that part out.
All right. Sounds really, really good. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
All right.
So Josh says Truist Park. Of course, he's going to say this is the best place to watch a game.
He's probably on target, though.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. What I've seen, it looks really, really nice. And, Alan, you and Johnny are both Redskins fans. Are you excited that the Redskins are going to move back to D.C.?
Very excited. Very excited they're getting back into D.C. That's something. They've been in needing a new stadium for quite a while. You talk about a shithole. I mean,
oh, man. Alan, Alan, you have no idea. Well, you do, obviously. You just made that statement. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, me and Jared went up there to see him play the Chargers to start 22, and they had water lines breaking and
raw sewage. They have sewage leaks.
Yeah.
And it's because they did it on it's a cookie cutter stadium. There was no artistic value.
Thank you, Dave. Because even when it was brand new, it was like never like state of the art ever. It was never like, oh, look at this. Look what they did. No,
it didn't have the ambiance and the feel of RFK. It never really had what it needed.
They built it for like 90,000, and now they've got it down to like under what even the Panther, I think it's 73. They have those upper deck, like the 400 level. A lot of those seats, they've got black, like a tarp or something over it.
Yeah, and Dave, when it was 90,000 initially, they had a waiting list, as you well know. You know that.
I was on that list.
Yeah, and now, no, they don't. I mean, Alan, to your point though about DC, it's very close to where RFK was, so it's going to be very nostalgic. The stadium design, I mean, from what I've seen, is just spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. Alan, you need to go with me to a game.
Yeah, I do. I would love to do that.
We'll make that happen this year. Johnny can meet us, I guess.
Yeah, I've only seen him twice. I saw him play the Falcons in the preseason in Raleigh in 1990.
Oh, yeah.
And Jared and I went to the Chargers. That was the Fitzpatrick was the quarterback for like five plays, and he got hurt.
Yeah, he sure did.
And Taylor Heineke came in and had a decent game, but the Chargers won that day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we stayed in this funky hotel at the University of Maryland. It was quite a hotel.
were you on Route 1?
I think so. Yeah, our original hotel, we got there and they had no record of that we had booked anything, and it was late. We were like, what are we going to do? So we found a hotel on the campus of Maryland, and yeah. We were very, very fortunate to get that hotel. There were a lot of very interesting characters down in the lobby. Let's just put it that way.
I could imagine. You're creeping pretty close to the D.C. line, you know, when you're talking College Park, which is good to get to the game. But, yeah, there's definitely characters on the Route 1 corridor there for sure.
Yeah, we made sure the door was double locked. That's for sure. When we got in the room, we're not going out for nothing.
You put a table against, did you put it like a table and stuff against the door like a barricade?
Almost. But the cool thing was we overslept a little bit and got to the stadium a little bit later than we wanted to, but I enjoyed it. It was a good trip, just me and the boy.
Yeah,
awesome.
Johnny, we definitely need to make that happen. And Alan, one of my dream bucket list things I want to do is I've been on a train, but now I want to be on Rocky Mount, going from Rocky Mount to DC. And, you know, you can get out to the line there, but I definitely want to do that because I'm going to have to get used to doing that because the new stadium is going to be real. You want to talk about parking? Parking is going to be horrendous. And we're probably going to have to figure out something about, you know, I may have to take a day off here, a day off there, but it's not going to be fun as far as going to games. And now you pretty much have to allow 6 hours to get there. You have to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I'll leave whenever we're supposed to leave. I would enjoy, you know, I've never taken a train.
Oh, man, Alan, I'm really intrigued by this, to be honest with you. I love trains. I've taken them very infrequently, but I love trains. And Dave, you can go from Rocky Mount to DC?
Yes, sir. 4 hours.
Well, then I'm guessing
4 hours, four and a half, something like that. It's not bad at all. And no traffic whatsoever. I mean, I've gone to New York a couple times doing that, and you can get to New York in 8 hours, like without even 30-minute break in D.C. They switch over from gas to electric. And holy Craig, Johnny the Tank Engine.
Please,
yeah, Craig, you can come hang out with us too. You're not too far in Fredericksburg, right?
No. Hey, you know what? I would rather go to a Fredericksburg Nats game than a Washington Nats game, because that stadium is really cool right there at the Rappahannock River. That is a great place to watch a game, unlike Nats Stadium.
I love have you ever been to the Durham Bulls, D-Bap? I guess not, but
I get Johnny. Have you ever been to a Durham Bulls game?
Dave.
Yeah, can Dave. You hear me?
Yeah, I said I went to the D-Bap to watch the Pirates kick some Tar Heel butt earlier this year.
Yeah, I love that stadium a lot, and wish that they would our Pirate folks would adopt one of my ideas, and that is. Well, not my idea, but one of the things I would like to see is a bottomless soda. So you pay $9.99, like we're talking about after that game, $9.99, and you have like soda stations. So once you buy that cup, that souvenir, well, they don't even have souvenir cups of the Bulls. It's a paper cup for $10. But for me, I'll drink two or three drinks easily. If you don't drink a lot, I guess, meaning sodas, then it may not be worth it. But for me, I would rather do that. And then that way, when you go back to get a soda, you don't wait in line. You just go up to the soda, station.
Oh, man. That's a lot of grams of sugar, Dave.
My picture.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy, but man.
My picture should be on the wall of the Minji's Bottling Group. As many Mountain Dews as I've consumed in my lifetime.
You are an ambassador for Mountain Dew. I will.
It's called American Dew right now, by the way. Have you seen the new cans?
Yeah, I have.
Mountain Dew, it's American.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is one of my, you guys know that, or maybe not, but Richard Petty and Darrell Walter were two of my favorite drivers growing up. And I love that. What was that, 81, Alan, with that?
Yeah, 81 and 82, he was in the Mountain Dew car, and then it became then it was the Pepsi Challenger car in 83.
Yeah, the Daryl car.
Yeah, Daryl. Yeah,
and then he did Gatorade, which is also a Pepsi product. No, correct?
Gatorade was before that. Gatorade was in like 70.
Yeah, but that was also a Pepsi product, correct?
It was a Stokely Van Camp product.
Then they sold it.
Yeah, I know Daryl. Yeah, that was 79-80 in the Gatorade car, and then he went to work for Junior Johnson in the Mountain Dew car. And then the Pepsi Challenger car, and then it became Budweiser.
Budweiser. Him and Bonnet, he was 11, and Neil Bonnet was 12.
Correct.
Yeah, but anyway, those two guys, one of my favorite, I saw, by the way, guys, you'll get a kick out of this. Richard Petty was going to stay at some hotel, and she said, well, are you Richard Petty? Petty? Which one are you? He said, I'm Richard. And I was going, that's Richard Petty, the king of NASCAR. And then it dawned on me, there are people that don't follow racing, but it's just sad to think that Richard Petty is kind of like, I don't know if you guys would agree, but Richard Petty to me is kind of like the Babe Ruth of NASCAR. Like he's like, I mean, what was that? I was reading again, 67, he won 20 some races.
Yep. Yeah. In 1967, he won 20. He won 200. Now, that was at a time where the competition wasn't as good as it became.
Well, not only that, Alan, would I be incorrect in saying that Richard Petty had better equipment almost every race? Maybe David Pearson could match him.
Absolutely. It was. You basically had about four drivers that had a shot to win any given Sunday back in there. And Petty was certainly the class. The Wood Brothers with David Pearson at times. Yep. Bobby Allison when he drove factory.
And Kale.
Yeah.
Very, I agree. Everybody else, it was really futile.
Yeah, you could finish eighth and you'd be 14 laps down. lot of places. But yeah, Richard, there's no doubt he was good on dirt. He was good on pavement. He was a good road course driver. Richard was the first guy that figured it out with the fans too. He always took time with the fans. He was always cordial with the fans. Richard Petty, they call him the king, and he deserves that title. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and he's still that way.
Yeah, the guy's almost 90 years old.
Yeah.
He'll be 89 years old in July.
And he looks, you know what I was going to say is that, and I'm not like kissing up to him. I'm really sincere when I say the guy looks still young. He does not look that, you know, I know he's in his 80s, the late 80s, but he doesn't look it.
He does not. He doesn't look 80. He still goes to all the races.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his team that Eric Jones drives for, and then he's part of Legacy Motorsports. Richard still looks like Richard. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some Just for Men involved.
He's got the cowboy hat, the sunglasses, the belt buckle.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, Eric Jones, he's going to win a race. Well, he's won races already, but he's been he's a hard luck guy. Like, I'm just saying.
He's a much better driver than the equipment he's in my opinion.
Yes, yes. He gets caught up in all the super speedway races. He's very, very competitive. And then at the end, he gets caught up in something that he has nothing to do with. And it happens almost every race. And it's like one of these times he's going to be in front of that mess and figure out a way to win a couple more races.
Well, you know, he won, I think, the Southern 500, what, 2, 3, or 4 years ago?
Yeah, like he did.
He's won 3 or 4 races. But you're right, he's a hard luck guy.
Yeah, I'm talking about the super speedway races, though, where he just always gets caught up.
Yeah, you know? And he's good at Daytona and Talladega.
Yeah.
He's good at Daytona
and Talladega. And he's not a terrible NASCAR, road racer.
Finally, NASCAR got smart, and they found a way to get rid of this fuel savings stupidity at Talladega and Daytona. That's ridiculous.
Well, you know what? The way that they broke up the stages, I felt there were still people criticizing, but I thought it was a huge improvement because the fuel saving went primarily out the window with the way they had the stages set.
Right. Can you imagine? Because
the last stage was a full fuel run.
Yep. Can you imagine Dale Earnhardt, Bobby Allison, David Pearson riding around at Talladega on lap 47?
And having their spotter say, okay, save fuel.
I mean, that's just, if NASCAR wants to look and see some of the problems that it has and why it has them, that's it in a microcosm right there.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it right there.
I agree.
Anyway, the last Talladega race was very competitive and a lot of fun. So hopefully NASCAR is figuring some things out now.
Yeah, well, I'll close the NASCAR conversation off with, my disdain for the All-Star race in Dover. That, to me, I'm not excited about it. I won't be watching. I'll be watching college baseball or something. I won't be watching that race. No way.
All-Star race needs to be in Charlotte on the Oval and stay there, in my opinion. Yep.
And it was by design. That gives teams 2 full weeks without traveling. To get themselves together and do, you know, it was – to me, very strategic and fan friendly.
Yeah, but '92 when Davey and Kyle and Dale got together, I was there. '95 when Daryl and Dale got together at Charlotte, and the All Star race was something to look forward to. When they went under the lights in '92, I mean it was
fantastic. Oh yeah, and then they had some additional entertainment like motorcycle jumping and stuff like that.
Humpy Wheeler was always having something blow up in the infield or whatever. So
All right.
Used to love the first time I ever took my wife to a race was the 91 World 600. It was hotter than Hades, but she went because we were brand new. We had just started dating 6 months earlier and we had a ball. But I probably couldn't drag her to another race now if I begged.
But, same with my wife. We went to the Bristol night race and I took her to Richmond, but then she's done. She's like, no.
And now when it's on TV and I'm watching, she knows what's going on. I mean, but she's not a but she's not a, you know, she's not a diehard like I am.
Yeah. No, I gotcha.
And I understand that. I get it.
When yeah. I hear Johnny say, "All right," that means that's time. Oh man. Well, good luck to, let me say good luck to the Pirates. By the way, before we go, one more thing, I promise. Let's do our predictions really quick. I'm going 2 out of 3. The Pirates win this weekend in Boca. Alan, what say you?
We're sweeping the damn series. That's it. We're sweeping. I'm, I don't want to hear nothing else. We're sweeping.
All right, Johnny, I hope you're right.
Yeah. I mean, if this was like for, if my, you know, if I'm picking like to win money or something, or if I have an ultimatum, you know, if you get this right, you win this or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm going to say 2 out of 3, but in my heart, I want to join Alan. I want to be with Alan. I want to be in the three, the sweep camp. But I just can't do it, because we haven't been good on the road at all.
This is the last series. I haven't predicted a sweep all year. I'm going with my heart instead of with my head, and we're gonna sweep.
All right. I hope you're right, Alan. I'd love to see it.
I'll take it, and I will bow to you on Sunday night. I'll bow to you when you get the sweep, because I want that.
Oh, I will too.
I will definitely do that.
Bow. Yeah, well, I hope you guys, I don't want you to have to bow, but I hope that you there. I hope that you have a reason to attempt to bow anyway.
Exactly. What we'll find out is, always, we hope that you guys have a great weekend. It's kind of weird to say that because it's only Wednesday night, but this series is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll do our Sunday show, and you guys enjoy your week. Please be safe. And until next time, we'll be here Sunday night around 8-ish here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.